Welcome to Influential She, the podcast about accelerating the influence of women in the world.
You will find us to be a fresh voice in an old conversation.
And here we are, your amazing co-hosts, Deb Soholt
and Mel Schopp. Well, hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Influential She. We're so excited to have you with us today. I'm your co-host, Mel Schopp.
And I'm Deb Soholt. And this is our conversation about accelerating the influence of women. And we're just so happy that you tuned in today. We're focusing this week on our high leverage practice of possibility. And that's where you're just taking whatever's going on in the world, the traditional things that we think about, all of the chores of life, and flip that on its head to start think about innovation, new ideas. Where could we go from here?
You know, I know many times I've told my kids, just follow your dreams, you know, and I don't even know if we really know what that means. Because when we're really thinking about being a possible list, as we like to call it, it's dreaming about something that's even bigger than yourself. It's bigger than what we really want to even dream about. And so I think that's what we're talking about today, right, Deb?
Absolutely. And Mel, you always talk about this word being a possibilist, that we're just really starting to think beyond our present circumstances. And how does that deeply connect with who we are as people? And then we can start to act on that, that we're moving forward in a really creative and innovative way, which isn't always the easiest thing to do. And you're spot on when you're talking about just follow your dreams when we're not even certain what those dreams might be.
You know, and sometimes I think it can be a little unsettling. You know, it's easier just to stay the course and do what is comfortable to you. So sometimes when we do this initially and we strike out, it can feel a little disruptive. And sometimes other people, it's like, what in the world are you doing? Or they're questioning your path as you go. But it can really be exciting. And I think that's what possibility is all about.
Well, we have just such a fantastic guest that has really lived her life in possibility. And when you talk about that disruption, Mel, and that risk that you feel, this is someone who has pursued that in spades, but really could see that there was a different future for herself that really resonated with who she was as a person. So I want to welcome Amber Stegman to the show. Hi, Amber.
Hi.
We're so glad that you're here. And Amber is one of those people that, you know, ended up, she went to college, she pursued a degree that put her into the IT world, but always had this deep-seated feeling that she wanted to work with hair and be a stylist and be in that world, and yet was extremely discouraged to do that, even though that felt like a nugget of a dream in her heart. So, Amber, why don't you just start with telling us a little bit about, you know, what you wanted to do and then how you ended up going to college to do some things in IT.
Well, thanks for having me, ladies. This is great. I've always loved doing hair and just everything that has to do with spa services. It's always been a passion of mine since I was a little kid. And it's that kind of profession that everybody kind of looks down upon, that you can't make any money doing that. Nobody succeeds. You know, you can't make enough money to have that a career forever. And so with that being said, it was, you have to go to college, you have to get a degree. That's how you're going to succeed in life. And it's not what I wanted to do. I hated being in college the whole time I was doing it, but I knew I had to get a diploma. So it took me a little longer. I went 5 years when I could have been done a lot sooner, but I just didn't like it. And I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life when I graduated. So I actually decided to move out east. I went to Westport, Connecticut, and I was a nanny for a while, just trying to figure out what I want to do for a job. And I didn't really like doing that. So I ended up coming back home and I got a job working at a bank in the IT department. And I had gotten a few different raises and different positions within IT. And, you know, it was going really well and I really liked it, but I would stare at the clock every day like, oh, is it lunchtime yet? Oh, is it 5 o'clock yet? And I'm like, is this what I want in my life? Do I want to be staring at the clock? I don't think this is me. I don't think this is my life. So I had somebody tell me one time, I talked to a lot of people on the phone when I'm fixing their computer issues and stuff. And he said, you know, Amber, if you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life. And so I'm just, my head's up in the clouds. What do I love to do? And I took a long route home one day. This is so weird how this all happened, but a different route home. And I saw a big sign that said new hair school opening up, and it was two blocks away from my apartment. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's what I want to do. I want to go to hair school. That's what I meant to do. And I just thought it was weird that I took a different route that day and saw that sign. It's not that I didn't know about things, but it just kind of popped in my head when I was thinking about it. And I talked to the director for like 2 hours on the phone. I said, I'm going to quit my job and I'm going to start right now. She's like, well, maybe you want to come and tour and think about it. I'm like, no, I'm going to quit my job tomorrow. I'm going to do this. If I don't do it now, I'm not going to do it.
Amber, you've got to talk a little bit about what were some of the pressures like from other people that you really cared about in your life? You know, your parents, when you talk about people saying you really shouldn't go do hair, even though this is something that you want to do. And now you're considering just stopping doing what it is that you do to go to school. What was the feedback that you were getting from people that were important in your life?
So I was dating somebody at the time that thought that I was an idiot to go to hair school and that I need to finish paying for my student loans from going to college before I get into something else. And I said, if I have to wait to pay off my student loans, I'll never go to school. And I said, and I'm not happy. So I guess it doesn't matter how much it costs. I'm going to have double the student loans and I'm going to be so successful, I'll be able to pay for it. And then I brought in my parents and my siblings and I brought them out for supper and said, I want you all to know I have quit my job and I'm going back to school. And that's it. And it's already done. So you can't change my mind. And right away they go, are you going to hair school? I said, yes, I'm going to hair school. And I'm telling you, I will be successful. So you don't have to worry about me. And even my mom was like, well, Amber, I've just always been worried that this is what you want to do. I want to make sure that you're successful in life and that you're going to be able to take care of yourself. And I'm like, mom, you don't have to worry about me because I know that I'll be successful. I have a business degree. I don't plan on just working for somebody my whole life. There are so many possibilities within hair. I can own my own salon. I can go work on a ship somewhere. I'm doing a dual credit. I went for my esthetician license and my cosmetology license because I didn't want to just be in one spot. I wanted to learn both of them. So I had every option out there depending on what I wanted to do. So, I didn't know I wanted to live around here. And there are certain states that you have to have both degrees. So that's why I wanted to make sure that I got both of them so I wouldn't have to say, oh, I didn't get that, so I can't do that.
There's going to be a couple things I'm going to take from this today. Number one, I'm going to take a different route home next time. I'm going to just look. And I was like, something's going to pop out of me. And that's one piece of advice we can give our guests. But the second thing I think is that not only did you, you know, see the possibility of doing something different. So that was one thing. But you certainly did not just say, okay, I'm going to go and go to hairstylist school and that's it. I mean, you just named all these things that you saw the potential for that gave you, you know, I think the impetus to go and be as successful as you are today. So from there, you know, you had this dream. You did. So what happened next? I mean, you went to school, but then what?
Well, so then I was applying at a bunch of different salons, and the salon that I decided to go to did continuing education, which was great. So I did that for 4 years, and they started to send me to training in different states because I was so passionate for what I did. And then I was getting married and my husband wanted me to move to Grand Forks for him to pursue his degree or his new adventure, I should say. He also worked at a bank for 10 years and he wanted to get into farming, not wear a suit and tie every day. And I decided that I was going to just commute back and forth from Grand Forks to Fargo. And my mother-in-law actually owned a salon where it was booth rental, but you know, you were your own business. And I said, gosh, I haven't done hair long enough to do this. I'm too scared. And I said, and I'll work 24/7. So I don't ever want to work for myself. I just want to go to work and somebody kind of tells me what to do when I have to be there and when I have to go home, and you're not allowed to work overtime. And I was really scared. I was really, really scared to go out on my own. I didn't know if I could do it or not. And I ended up, when we did get married, we got married in the Dominican, and I got a tropical bug in my leg where I couldn't work for a few months. I couldn't stand or walk or anything. And so that made me kind of separate from my job in Fargo. And I just kind of jumped off the deep end and started my own business here in Grand Forks with zero. I didn't know anybody here in Grand Forks, so I had zero clientele. And I was working 12, 15 hour days because I was getting so many people in. And then once I started having children, I've cut back a little bit more. And then I was, after a year of working there, I ended up becoming the manager. And from doing that, I knew I wanted to buy the whole building someday. And so now I have about 24 or 25 stylists that I have at the salon now, and they all booth rent. So I work full-time behind the chair, little more than 40 hours a week. And then I also manage and own the salon with 21 rooms.
So Amber, I want to make sure that our listeners, like, okay, you're in your 30s, right?
I mean, I just turned 38.
Just turned 38 years old.
Yep.
And you were like, oh, I want to work for somebody. I don't know if I can, you know, you went from that thinking to being a manager to now owning the salon and having all of these stylists that are renting from you in a business model.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about, you know, obviously you have guts when you just say, oh, hey, I quit my job because now I'm going back to school and I'm going to be so successful. Talk a little bit about what that feels like for you to have that kind of confidence behind the scenes, because you've done some very risky things believing in the possibility of yourself. Talk a little bit about what does that feel like and where does that come from?
You know, my husband and I, when we both decided to move to Grand Forks to pursue new careers, when we were both working at the bank, you get paid what you get paid. And it doesn't matter really what you do. I mean, you can get a raise here and there, but it really doesn't matter how good you do when there's only so much they're willing to give you for a salary, you know? And so when my husband and I decided to move to Grand Forks, we actually went out for supper and we cheersed each other and said, well, here's to financial freedom or financial suicide. Like we're gonna jump in and we're gonna do this because we wanna make a lot of money. And the only way to do that is to have our own businesses. So we have to do this. And it was absolutely terrifying. And with my husband, you know, his first job that he decided to do on his own did not go as well as planned. And so I had to work more. There was no choice. I had to get as many clients as I possibly could. And I'm not willing to fail. That's one thing about me. I'm absolutely not going to fail. And if I have to work 24 hours out of the day, I will. When I worked in Fargo, I was working full-time at the salon, but I was also full-time bartending because I couldn't pay my bills unless I did that. Because when I started doing hair, I was making minimum wage. Well, I was already at a point in my life where I had a new car, I had a mortgage, you know, like how can I pay for all that when I'm making minimum wage? So I've always been that person that works at least two full-time jobs. Just, you know, I was dressing and eating in my car going from one place to the next because I only had a 15-minute time span for me to get there. And I would only get 2 to 3 hours of sleep. And then when I started my own business here in Grand Forks, I mean, I'd be at the salon until midnight or 1 a.m. if somebody wanted to start a color at 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. I don't like to say no to people. And I just think, you know, the more I work, the more money I make, the faster I can get out of debt. I mean, I can do this. So I was working 7 days a week. I did that up until I had my first daughter. The day that I had my daughter, I was working a 15-hour shift. And I just had to take an hour break to go.
To go have her? No.
To let your water break?
I had to go get checked. And my husband's like, should she be working anymore? 'Cause I think something's wrong with her. And they're like, well, I don't know. Do you want to work anymore? I said, well, I work for myself. So I'm going to work unless I have a medical reason telling me that I can't work. And she's like, well, yeah, I think you're going to be done then. I'm like, so you don't medically think I should be working anymore? Because I got 4 more hours of work today. I got to get all these people in before I have the baby. And she's like, no, I think you're done. And then she's like, you know, we got to do some more testing on you. And about 15 minutes later, I was getting induced. And then I ended up in an emergency C-section and was in the hospital for 7 days. I've always worked because I'm not willing to fail.
So Amber, I'm hearing two things though, because I think when you started out, I think we're all driven by money and making sure that we can get ourselves to a place of financial freedom, et cetera. But this is what I heard from you when you first started out. You talked about it just wasn't your passion. You know, you were looking at the clock all the time. And although, you know, that, you know, where you're at today, you're driven by this other need. I really think part of your drive, tell me if I'm right or wrong, was because you just wanted to do what you really, really love.
The money's great that I can actually, you know, start paying for things and pay off my debt, but I don't have a job. I don't work. I play all day long. You know, I mean, that's the thing that's awesome about all of us hairstylists. We literally get to play all day long. We're doing our hobby. So when you're doing your hobby, I don't feel like I go into work. I mean, yes, the money is nice and I did this for the success and I continue to do it for the success, but it's very hard for me to say no to a single client because I want to see them. Number one, I want to see them. But I feel bad that I can't do what they want me to do. You know, I want to get them in and I will sacrifice many things to be able to get them in because I do have a passion for it.
I think you have a lot of characteristics of what I see as a genuine possibilist, because typically they're the kind of people that they're renewed by by creativity, and that's where they get their energy from. They want to make things better. And it just seems like that is definitely the Amber we're talking to today. It's this woman who, you know, you are energized through the creativity of the work that you are able to do.
The thing that's great about my job, you know, and I talk about looking at the clock, and I tell so many people this when they want to hear my story, when I'm doing their hair, they're like, well, how did you end up doing hair? And I said, the thing that's great is when I was looking at the clock every day to see, oh my gosh, only 5 minutes have gone by and I got 5 more hours to go. I said, when I look at the clock now, it's to make sure I'm on time, you know, that I don't want to be pushing into somebody else's time, but, or that I have to go pick up my kids by a certain time. But if I'm at work and I don't have to go get my kids, I will add more and more people in because it's so fun and exciting every day. I don't even take a lunch break because I want to get somebody else in. Because I don't know, it's for me, I just love getting as many people in as I can because I love what the next thing I get to do is. You know, like I'm like, oh my gosh, I get to do a sugar today. Oh, I get to do hair extensions and I get to make somebody happy because they don't have any hair. Or, you know, I mean, it's like I get so excited about the certain people coming in to do things that they've never done before.
All right. Now, Amber, you have brought up sugaring, and this was another possibility that you could see within your business that other people are not doing. Talk a little bit about that.
So sugaring is a type of hair removal. It's all natural. It's made with sugar, lemon, and water. It doesn't attach to your skin. It's body temperature, so it can never burn you. And I am one of those people that wants to do bigger, better things that's better for you. And so I decided to stop waxing I was doing waxing and I was doing sugaring. But I had decided just to do sugaring once I started my own business because it was so much better. But when I found out about sugaring, I flew out to Bozeman, Montana to get certified because I knew that that was something that no one else around here does. I believe it's only me or there's one other person in the state of North Dakota that does sugaring. And everybody that comes in and has me do sugaring, they're like, why would anybody wax? Like, I don't know. I like sugaring's where it's at, you know? And, Everybody asks me, why doesn't anybody else sugar? I'm like, I don't get it. I wish they did because I want somebody to sugar me. You know, there's nobody else around that sugars.
Amber, what I've heard you say when you're pursuing new things and new possibilities is that you're also matching that with the right credentials. Like you talk about getting dual licensed so that you have an opening door for as many possibilities. And then also when you're on a new venture that you're taking, you know, you've got the grit to like roll up your sleeves and do the work to match the creativity and where you're headed so that you can say to the world, not only do I see the possibility that this is good for you, but I also have the credentials to back it up so I can keep you safe.
So with sugaring, you have to be certified to sugar. And with the type of hair extensions that I do, you also have to be certified to do the hair extensions I do. So I actually, for my hair extensions, I discovered them in Vegas at a hair show. And then I got trained in Mesa, Arizona. And then I also went to become an educator in California. I do feel like you should specialize things because you're more of that corner market too, where, I mean, I have people from, they drive 4 hours away because they found me online to do either the sugaring or the hair extensions because no one else is doing that.
You've really realized a dream that you had and you're really young. What do you see as your next possibility? I'm just, you know, you make me excited when I listen to you and you're talking about, you know, all these things you've added in, their certifications, but what do you see as the next big thing? Because obviously somebody like you just doesn't quit thinking.
Oh, no. I actually, right before COVID-19 happened, I was considering expanding the salon. I'd like to add at least 5 more rooms right now. I would eventually like to have maybe another location. And then on top of that, I want to start owning other businesses besides doing this booth rental for hair. I want to own businesses that people have to rent. So like, strip malls or, fully owning the business that, or the building that I'm in. I own part of the building. I don't own the entire building, but it's a huge building. So I'm kind of getting a little more into like the real estate part of it, where I don't really have to be somewhere. I just need, you know, it's so nice having the ACH nowadays where you really don't have to be around to do the business. You just need a computer and a phone. So, because I do want to travel and I want to spend a lot of time with my kids. And so eventually I will go part-time doing hair. When my kids are older and in high school, I want to be able to watch all their sports. So I would like to have other businesses that I don't have to be present.
You know, Amber, for our listeners, I want to circle back just a little bit to the risks you have to take to back up the possibilities that you envision for yourself. Can you talk just a little bit about what you went through? Because I think sometimes when we talk about, you know, when Mel talked at the beginning about it's your dreams, just follow your dreams, it sounds so simple and it sounds so elegant, if you will.
Oh, yeah.
But I think living in the world of possibility is many times about small messes and a lot of fear. And then all of a sudden you just have to decide to punch through. Can you talk a little bit about going forward to actually buy this business and to buy your building that now leads you into thinking about, I could possibly expand this in the future?
Yeah. I mean, I've been very, very scared to do a lot of the things that I have done, but if you don't just jump on the deep end and do it, you're never going to know. Before hair school, I had a really good job. So I had a new car and I had a house to pay for and I had my student loans and all this stuff. It's like, I didn't know how I was going to afford to buy toilet paper. And I had a cat. I didn't know how I was going to afford litter for my cat. You know, just simple little things like that. I'm like, oh my gosh, how do I make more money? How do I make more money? So I had to get a second job to kind of pay for all this stuff. And it's been terrifying the whole entire time. I just try to look forward, and moving to another city was very scary. I thought I would live in Fargo my whole life and I did not want to move to Grand Forks. None of this has been easy. And all of a sudden when I decided that I wanted to buy the salon, I was told I couldn't afford it. I was told like, it's too much for you. You're not going to be able to do it. You know, it was all like financially that you thought I couldn't be ready. And I'm like, I don't know what you guys are talking about. I've been managing this on my own, doing every single step of it for the last 5 years. So how is owning it going to be any different? I don't understand. You know, and then, so having all the discouragement to buy the business too, I just went to a couple different banks and I said, will you give me a loan for this much? And finally they said yes. And so I didn't even tell my husband until I already started doing the paperwork. And then I told him that, we're going to do this. So I need you to come to the bank and start filling this out because we're both going to own a business.
I love it.
I love it too.
But you know, I when I have a dream, I go for it and nobody's going to stop me. And I'm scared as hell. I'm so, you know.
That's so honest, Amber.
I didn't even know if I wanted kids, but I'm like, my God, if I don't just do it, how would I ever know? I better just have them.
That's great. Okay. So Amber, I just got to know what's your secret sauce? So if somebody said, so what makes you what you, I mean, you've told us a lot of things. You told us that you've been scared, you know, you're the dreamer, but what's your secret sauce that just makes you successful and that makes this happen? What can you tell me?
I would say it's my passion. I have a severe passion for people and for success. I even have people in my life that have struggled that I'm like, okay, do you want to live with us for a while and we'll take care of you so you can go be successful in doing this? I'm passionate for people. And I feel like because I have a passion for people, it helps me succeed because I know so many people and I want to help so many people. And in return, I feel like you kind of get that back, you know, when you're just caring and passionate about things, I just feel like people kind of gravitate towards you and want to help you succeed as well.
So Amber, that's just so cool how you can see that the risks that you've had to take, that you're out there to be an encourager and a support to others to try to take the same kind of risk for themselves, because you can see the trade-off if you can punch through being so afraid that mm-hmm. all of a sudden you're starting to live in the lane that feels authentic and real to you, and it gets you jazzed and it you know, you're excited to go every day. So what kind of advice would you give others that have a dream and a possibility in their heart about going forward? What advice would you give to them?
Well, I don't know many people that aren't successful that haven't failed. You know, most people that are very successful have failed at some point in their life. So I just feel like you have to punch through. You have to, if it's on your mind and you think you can do it, you just have to do it. And sometimes deal with the consequences later. You know, even when I started hair school, I asked my job at the bank. I said, oh my God, I was in tears. I'm like, I think this is what I want to do, but I don't know if this is what I want to do. And what if I absolutely hate it? And they said, you always have a job. You can come back. You can come back here. You have a job. You know, so I think even leaving what you're currently doing to do something else is that you never burn a bridge while you do it. You know, you always are the best that you can possibly be until the end, because you never know if you need to lean on those people again. If you have a dream, you just have to do it, and you have to not really care about the backlash or the consequences that come with it. You just have to go for it.
That's just great advice. That's what gives everybody the possibility that, you know, they can move forward with that dream, because I think the biggest thing that we are concerned about is failure. And you know, your advice there was really, really powerful in that it's okay to fail. But I also think that if we don't try, we don't know if we can actually do it. And you're just a living example of that you just stepped out there and you did it. I'm just really curious, what about all those people who said you couldn't, you know, you shouldn't do this? Or
my first paycheck that I, so the boyfriend that I had that told me that I was an idiot for going to hair school, my very first paycheck was bigger than my other paycheck that at my prestigious looking job. And so I took a screenshot of my paycheck and sent it to him. And I'm like, just wanted you to see my very first paycheck is more than what I was making. And you thought I couldn't do it. And we weren't dating anymore at the time, so I never got a response. But
that just speaks to you. That just speaks to who you are, Amber. That's great. I love it. I love it.
Love the spunk, Amber.
Even my mom, you know, I mean, she is a huge supporter of mine. She's just always nervous of all the things that I have chosen to do in my life. But she's, you know, even when I moved out to Westport, Connecticut, she was in tears because she's like, I don't want you to go. You can't do this. Like, you don't know where you're going or what you're doing. And I'm like, I'm going to be just fine. But if I don't go, I'll never know if that's where I was supposed to be. To sell everything that I had and move out to New York, I'm like, I was so scared to do that. But I just thought, am I going to wonder the rest of my life what would have happened if I would have just went out to New York? And I was there and I'm like, yeah, this is not for me. I like to be around people. I like people to talk to me. You know, I went into every bar and restaurant and shopped and everything all by myself. And I'm like, these people aren't really people persons. You know, I mean, it's different when you live here. It's like everybody wants to talk to you and help you and whatever. And so I realized that I like to be around people. But I was willing to go give it a shot because if I didn't, I wouldn't know.
Well, Amber, you have been an amazing guest about the power of possibility. And not just somebody who thinks about possibility and dreams for themselves, but actually rolls up their sleeves and gets it done and is willing to fight through the fear to do something that feels passionate and real. And you're just at such a young age. I can hardly wait to see the next step of all of your possibilities. And you just give a lot of great advice and inspiration to people that would be listening to this podcast to just start going for it. Because, you know, it's that old question, what would you do if you knew you couldn't fail? Well, even though failure may happen, there are lessons to be learned in that to dust yourself off like you have and to move forward again. So that's the place of possibility that we need to encourage other women and ourselves to be living in so that we can be truly influential. So thanks so much for being on our show today.
Well, thank you guys for having me. When you first asked me, I'm like, well, I haven't done anything. I don't know why you want to talk to me.
Oh my gosh. You are amazing,
Well,
Amber.
I think our listeners will see that differently.
That's exactly right.
And we want to thank everyone that chose to tune in to Influential She today. And as is our tradition, we'd like to leave you with a question. What is something that's a burning dream in your heart? Something that you feel you can match your passion and to become more authentically you? What is holding you back? Thanks again for tuning in to another episode of Influential She. We hope you'll do it again. Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed our podcast, we'd be so jazzed if you rate us on whatever app you use to find us. And hey, be sure to tell all your friends about Influential She.
And please visit us at InfluentialShe.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn. And you know what? If you come up with a new one, please let us know. In the meantime, remember, stay influential.